This morning, as we continue our series about being good stewards, we know that we talked about the first week of being stewards of what God had created, the creation around us. And last week, Brian talked about being stewards of our jobs and what we have going on in our life, the way that we go about our jobs. And this week, we're going to be talking about the parable of the loan money or the talents. You know, folks, it's always, as you talk about stewardship, it's always one thing to talk about money. People say, well, I don't like talking about money. You know, I'm going to do what I can do, and that's all I can do. That's all wonderful. I'm just wanting to show you this morning that there's more to the stewardship of money than what we think about. We just think about, well, we'll write a check 10%, we'll write a check for 20%, we'll do this, we're all good, you know. I know that's the way a lot of people believe and think, that as long as I'm in church on Sunday morning, as long as I'm attending regularly, as long as I'm writing that check, as long as I'm doing pretty much all that's required of me. Well, we talked a little bit about it Wednesday night. A lot of this, folks, comes to a personal relationship with your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. What might work for me might not work for Brian. What might work for Brian might not work for me. It's what you have to figure out works for you and your relationship with the Lord when you talk about being stewards of your time, your money, or anything. There's a lot of little crazy things I've done since especially since I started into the ministry. There's a few little crazy things I do. Y'all may have picked up on it. Y'all may not. I'm not going to talk about them because if you're new and hadn't been here 20 years, you will pick up on them. But you're not that new. But there's a lot of things that I have to do for myself. I can't tell you to do them, but I have to do them. And so I think that's what we look at when we talk about the parable of the loan money. For some people, it's no way that would work to loan money to anyone. There's no way it would work hardly to loan money to the good Lord, and much less anybody else. So there's a lot to think about here today. But as we look at the scriptures here today, folks, we're going to look at three different people. We're going to look at a person that God had allowed to have 5 talents, 2 talents, and 1 talent. Okay, now we're going to think about this, and it says that the master has left to go on a long trip. I want you to stop and think. This master is the Lord. These servants are you and me. This is who he's talking about. And you say, well, Mike, I don't know if he's talking about that or not. He's telling this story. This is Jesus telling this story. Listen to what Ephesians 4, 11, I believe. Let me see. Ephesians 4, 11 says, now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church. Now, he has just ascended into heaven. He's ascending into heaven right here. If you pick up in, I'm going to let y'all do your own reading and study, Ephesians 4. He's ascending into heaven, and he is leaving these gifts. Okay? So he says, the gifts Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers, and their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and to build up the church, the body of Christ. So see, he's left each one of us with a bunch of gifts, hadn't he? So when we read this morning, we're going to see that this master is the Lord and the servants are us. He's just using 3 different type of servants. So let's read the scripture this morning, Matthew 25, 14 through 30. It says, again, the kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by the story of a man going on a long trip. He called together his servants and entrusted his money to them while he was gone. He gave 5 bags of silver to one, 2 bags of silver to another, and 1 bag of silver to the last, dividing it in proportion to their abilities. He then left them on his trip. The servant who received the 5 bags of silver began to invest the money and earn 5 more. The servant with 2 bags of silver also went to work and earned 2 more. But the servant who received the 1 bag of silver dug a hole in the ground and hid the master's money. After a long time, their master returned from his trip and called them to give an account of how they had used his money. The servant to whom he had entrusted the 5 bags of silver came forward with 5 more and said, "Master, you gave me 5 bags of silver to invest, and I have earned 5 more. The master was full of praise. Listen to these words. "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount. So now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together." The servant who had received the 2 bags of silver came forward and said, "Master, you gave me 2 bags of silver to invest, and I have earned 2 more. The master said, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful to handling this small amount, so now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together." Then the servant with the 1 bag of silver came and said, "Master, I knew you were a harsh man, harvesting crops you didn't plant and gathering crops you didn't cultivate. I was afraid I would lose your money, so I hid it in the earth. Look, here is your money back." But the master replied, "You wicked and lazy servant. If you knew I harvested crops I didn't plant and gathered crops I didn't cultivate, why didn't you deposit my money in the bank? At least I could have gotten some interest on it." Then he ordered, "Take the money from the servant and give it to the one with 10 bags of silver. To those who use well what they have been given, even more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who do nothing, even what little they have will be taken away. Now throw this useless servant into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." This is the reading of God's word for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You see, folks, there's 3 guys here. This master's going off. Jesus is going back into heaven. He's left each one of us within these 3 kind of within these 3 people. The first one, he left 5 bags of silver. Now, I calculated that last night, 5 bags of silver, 353 pound, basically what a talent is, and at the cost of silver yesterday, that would have been about $883,000. So he left him that much money in today's world. The second one, he left about $175,000 to $180,000, somewhere right in there. And then the other one, he left 1 bag. 1 bag, which would have been $60,000, $70,000, $70-something thousand. So you think, well, he has 3 different people here. Now, how would you think about it, and how would you handle it? Folks, when we think about these guys, we think about this first guy. He was given a lot of money. And my dad always said, "Son, if you don't have some money, you ain't going to make no money." And that's a lot of truth to that. You know, money makes money. He had money to make money. He had money to do with as he could and saw fit. But he was a good manager. He loved the master. He took care of the master's money, and he invested it, and it done well, and he made 5 more bags. So God was pleased with him. The master was pleased with him, and he said, well done, good and faithful servant. The next one didn't have quite as much money, but he invested it well, trading and doing the things that they had to do back then, on the bartering system, was a whole lot of that. And he done very well. And so the master told him, he said, You've done well, my friend. Well done, good and faithful servant. He said, let's celebrate. Let's celebrate this for these two guys. And he calls the third one in. And the third one says, I know how it is. You're a pretty tough dude. I really didn't know what to do with this money that you give me, so I just put it in the ground and held on to it so no one would steal it. Nobody could get a hold of it. And so I brought it back to you. You've got your money back. Here you go. And he said, what good are you? What good are you? Throw him into the outer darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. Throw him into hell, folks. Lake of fire. So we stop and we look at these three different scenarios. You know, folks, all of my life I see people that have a lot of money. And I think about when they have a lot of money, most of the time, what they're mostly concerned about is getting more money, working to get more money, investing in something that has a good return, investing in something that they enjoy, investing in something that they can play with or have that they can spend their time with. So that brings us kind of out of the money thought back into God's world. Folks, talents are what God has given you. He said, I left you with preachers. I left you with evangelists. I left you with all of these things that we read in Ephesians 4. So he says, I have left you with a lot of talent. I've left you with a lot of silver. I've left you with a whole lot of things that you can work with and do good with. What are you going to do with it? What in the world are you going to do with it? Everywhere we look, everything we see in the world that we live in today, we see people that have the money to do what they want to do, doing what they want to do, not what God wants them to do. Not what God wants them to. We see people spending time everywhere, doing everything. God doesn't care if we spend time here, there, and yonder, but he expects us to do his work. We are these servants, folks. Some of them are required, more is required of. When you take on the responsibility that me and Brian take on, then there's more required of us. There's more required of us from y'all, and there's going to be more required of us from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ when we get there and we stand for judgment. There will be more required of us. Now, if we want to have the title of being the preacher, and all we want to do is just come Sunday morning and preach and go back home and do what we want to do all week, that's not going to get us very far, is it? That's not going to work. We're going to be like the man with the one talent. That's how God's going to look at it. Folks, when we think about what God expects of us, he expects us to take our money that he has given to us. He's given some of us more than others. You will never see everyone with the same bank account. I don't care how much you want to or don't want to. And if the government had their way, that's what they'd do. Everybody'd have the same. Everybody'd be the same. But that's not the way God set it up. And so you will see people that have the ability to do things that they want to do things that they can do, and they will do. And you might see them in church every Sunday, and you might not. Even if you see them in church every Sunday, folks, and they're putting a big check into the collection plate, what in the world are they doing with the rest of their time? Are they helping anyone else? Are they even telling anyone else about Jesus Christ? Are they giving him praise for the money that they have? Or did they make it all on their own? Well, back when I was young, me and Tammy just got married, and I'm doing a lot of different things to make a living, and I'm sitting there, and I'm thinking, I'm fixing to make me a bunch of money. We had a lot of different things happening, and all I focused on was making money. And the more I tried to focus on making money, the broker I got. And you know why that was? Because I didn't include God in any of that. That was Mike. What Mike was going to do. Mike can't do anything. But God allows us to do everything when we bring him into the picture. Same thing with marriage. Marriage is a two-strand rope, but when you bring that third strand into it, it makes it so much stronger. So folks, no matter what I tried, it didn't work. It just didn't work. And it wasn't until I gave up what I wanted to do and what I thought I wanted to be, and I turned to the Lord and I said, Lord, I'm ready to do what you want me to be instead of what I want to be. And then things begin to turn around. They turn completely around. It's just like we went back the road that we came on for a fresh start. This is what Jesus is talking about here. He is saying we have, each one of us was given one talent. Each one of us was given one talent. What was that talent that he gave you? Did he give you a bag of silver? In one sense, yes, he gave you a soul. What we do with that soul, folks, is one talent. It's better than one bag of silver. What we do with that soul, what we do for the Lord, how we take that and build into his kingdom, how we take ourselves and use ourselves for the building of his kingdom each and every day, that's what is important. It's not about whether we made five bags or two bags, but what he was saying was, if you have that ability and you have that money laying there, instead of just letting it lay there, let's see what we can do to build the kingdom of God here on this earth. And that fingers out in lots of different ways, folks, because you can look at it like, well, I can take my money and I can help the poor. I can buy clothes for kids. I can do this at the beginning of school or that. That's all true. That's all good. But it don't stop there. Come Monday morning, you got somebody that down the road that needs something. And they might need money. But they might need you. They might need your time. Well, golly bell, me and Dan was going fishing Monday. I don't want to call Dan and tell him I can't go fishing. You see what I'm saying? So there goes Monday. I can't do for the Lord on Monday because I know where there's a good bluegill hole. And I do. And so therefore, it pushes me to the bluegill hole. You see, comes Tuesday, we're saying, well, we're going with the family, go get together on Tuesday, and we're going to take the kids, we're going down to the lake and hang out down there all day. Tuesday morning, you get up with a phone call. The Lord has sent you that phone call. Someone needing something. He needs you to do something for him, to be his hands and feet. Can't do it. I already got plans. Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, same thing. We got our week planned out. We get up, we write it all on a calendar, what we're going to do this week, and that's pretty much what we live into. Folks, when you truly, truly surrender that five bags and that two bags, even that one bag, when you truly surrender to God to be his, it doesn't matter what you have that you want to do. You will be eager to work for him, to serve him, to do the things that he wants you to do. It's football season. It's basketball season coming on. It's all kinds of stuff going on. And we're all going to be giving in to that. There's nothing wrong with it on an occasion. But folks, we have to be careful that we don't 100% turn from the Lord to do everything that we want to do. There's so many things that I could give my time up, what I do for the Lord, and I don't do much, but what I do, I could give it back to Him, and I could really do a lot of things I want to do every day of the week. It's easy to get caught up in the world. And that's what that man with the one bag done. He got caught up in this world of not wanting to do any more than he had to do. Had he took that one bag and used it wisely, there's no telling what might have happened, how God might have blessed his one bag above and beyond the man that had the five bags. But because he was selfish, he claimed to be scared of the master. He claimed he did not have the management skills that the other people had. He wasn't able to manage his money like the other people were. And he knew that he was serving a man that was tough, and he didn't want to lose that money and then have to tell him, "I don't have your money, sir." So he decided not to do anything. Folks, it tells us right in this scripture that we just read, we will be accounted for. He called each one of them in, and he made an account. He made them account for what he had given them and what you done with it. You will be called in. You will be held accountable for everything that he's given to you. If you stop and count the blessings that he has given to you, if you count everything that he's given to you, how in the world could you ever count them? You can't. Because his blessings on us, I don't care who you are, his blessings on us has been so much greater than anything we could ever do for him. He loves his people. He loves his servants. He loves them to the point that he's willing to give to them his money. All of the things that he has, he left with us the Holy Spirit to guide us when he ascended into heaven. He left with us that Holy Spirit that we might take that Spirit, and in the Holy Spirit that we live, that we might take that Spirit and go forth making other servants, making other believers, growing his kingdom, building his kingdom here on this earth. Now, folks, we read in the pouring of the water, we're saved by God's grace, and nothing we're going to do is going to, we can't do anything to build ourselves, to make ourselves any greater. Not going to happen, because we're saved by his grace and his grace alone. Amen. That's how much he loves us. But when he saved us on that cross and shed that blood on that cross, he said, "Mike, there's a kingdom down here to be built. You can go on trying to make $1 million if you want to. One day, you're going to stand in front of me. One day, you're going to answer. And one day, it's not going to be pretty, bud. Or you can help me, and we'll build this kingdom. We'll get the word out to as many people as we know how. We'll do everything we can to let people realize the joy and the peace that I have to offer. And once they figure it out, once they see it, they will come and they will accept it. But I need you, and I need you, and I need you. I need each and every one of you to help me with this. And if you don't, then there's a place of outer darkness. You'll be chained in outer darkness. You can't work in darkness, folks. If it's real, real dark, you cannot work. I guarantee you can't do nothing but feel around and see where you're at. That's all you can do. And he said, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. There will be a lake of fire. Is that where we want to spend eternity? Folks, even though what we do throughout the week has no effect on whether we are saved, whether we know Jesus Christ, whether we have a relationship with Him, a responsibility to grow that relationship. It's kind of crazy when you try to talk about it in two different ways. But I think a lot about it, and I think about when I grew up with Dad. It was the fact that I knew I was loved at home. I knew Mom and Dad loved me. I knew I had a place under my feet could slide under a table anytime. I knew I had a roof over my head. I had clothes to wear. But I also knew that I was expected, if I was going to be part of that little group of people, I was expected to contribute something to that. And I think that's the way God set up our families, and I think that's the way God set up our churches. He expects us to contribute something back to His kingdom. Show Him we love Him. Show Him that we want to be able to do the things for Him that we would do for our father here on earth or our mother here on earth. Give Him that love back. And when we do, He will bless us. That talent that we have, that one talent don't seem like much. It don't seem like we could do very much with it. We could do anything with it. But I don't read these stories and I don't think about this until I think about Peyton. Peyton, my little buddy, Randall's buddy, my buddy, Peyton, he's the man. Now I'm telling you, he's having to live with his dad right now, so he's not with us every Sunday. But Peyton goes to Walmart and he tells everybody, y'all know about Grace Life Church, Brother Mike? It's not about Grace Life Church and Brother Mike. That's just what he knows to say. But as he gets older, you know what he's going to be saying? Y'all know about your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? Y'all know about how to take that Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and let Him live within you and let Him be part of you? When you have kids that has a bigger voice for Christ than we do, there's something wrong, folks. There's something wrong. This morning we come to the table. You know, I'm sure Jesus felt a little bit like what we're talking about this morning. I've done everything I know to do for these disciples. I know I've done everything. I've had them with me. I've taught them. I've tried to show them. I've done everything that I can do for you guys. And I have given you a commission to go out and that you have the same authority I have. But what did they lack? They lacked the faith that they needed. They couldn't get it grasped into their little heads. It was something that was all so new to them that they were trying to process it. And I think all the time, folks, that's what we are, still trying to process each and every week how good and how grateful we are that God sent His Son, Jesus, and how He loved us and how He died for us. And so Jesus bound to have been sitting there that night knowing that He was fixing to be betrayed, sitting around the table with the disciples. Brian, if you'll come help me. And what did He do? He gave thanks. And let us give thanks as we come to prepare to partake in the bread and the wine. Oh, Father, we come today, we thank You so, so much for Your Son, Jesus. We thank You, Lord Jesus, for the Scriptures that You gave to us and how You showed us that it is about Your kingdom here on this earth. It's not about us. It's not about us having fun every day of the year. You don't care for us to have fun and have things, but it is about You. You taught us that through this body, that Your body was part of this bread that we're about to partake of. So, Father, we ask now that You make for us this bread to be the body of Christ. We ask that You take this juice and let it be the blood of Christ. And we give You praise, Lord Jesus, for the body and the blood. And it's in your name that we're fixing to partake, that we ask each and everything, forgive us of our sins. Amen. And on the night that he was betrayed, he took the bread and he broke it. And as he broke it, he said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. As often as you eat it, do it in remembrance of me." Likewise, he reached over and he got the cup of wine. He said, "This is the new covenant between God and his people." He said, "This is my blood, which is shed for you. As often as you drink it, do it in remembrance of me." He had blessed the bread before, and he blessed the cup before, just as we had done. And so he had offered that back to each and every one of the disciples around the table. As we offer this bread and this cup, I hope anyone need a cup, anyone got a cup, everyone got a cup. All right.
Let's partake together, church family. Body of Christ broken for you, blood of Christ shed for you. Like the body of Christ broken for you, blood of Christ shed for you.
Praise be to God. Brenda, body of Christ broken for you, for the forgiveness of sin, the blood of Christ shed for you.
Thanks be to God.
Praise be to God. Folks, I don't know about y'all, but it makes me feel the presence of the Lord, and I hope you do as well. I'd ask Brian if he would do our closing prayer.
Father, thank you for your body that was broken, your blood that was shed for us, for the forgiveness of our sins. As Mike has so beautifully reminded us, God, it is by grace and grace alone that we have been saved through faith.
Amen.
It's not of ourselves. It's not of our own doing. It's nothing that's works-based at all. It is 100% freely offered by your grace.
Amen.
That comes to us in the gospel of your Son, Jesus Christ. Yes. So, Father, we bow our heads and our hearts this morning and humbled at this moment, and we say thank you as we have been reminded, as we look back and remember Jesus' sacrifice on the cross, dying the death that we deserved, you crushing him for our iniquities, God, and then raising him again on the third day so that our faith could be assured, God, that you have accepted his sacrifice on our behalf, and because of that, our sins are cast as far as the east is from the west, and you remember them no more. Praise be unto your name, God, and thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ that washes us clean. And so, God, today we bow our heads and our hearts as a family of God, and we just say thank you. And we do so by repeating the words from our heart, not just words on a page, but words on our heart, to the prayer that Jesus taught all of his disciples to pray and saying together, "Our Father,
who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.
Amen."
In the name of Jesus Christ, children of God, you and I are forgiven.
Amen.